Welcome to the show. I'm Melanie Cole, and our topic today is atopic dermatitis as treated by an allergy physician. My guest is Dr. David Morris. He's the medical director of the allergy department at Dayton Children's Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Morris. What is atopic dermatitis, and do we know what causes it?
Atopic dermatitis is a skin disease, a primarily skin disease that manifests as a red, itchy rash, usually. And we do know that often it is caused by skin defects. In fact, recently that has been found out that there are certain mutations amongst the barrier parts of your skin that will cause atopic dermatitis severely. However, it is not all manifested by skin barrier defects, so there are multiple causes, but it usually comes along with some amount of allergic triggers that triggers the skin disease.
Is there a genetic component to this, and what are some of the risk factors to watch out for?
So certainly there is a genetic component. Often you will see atopic dermatitis runs in families, and in fact, having a relative, a direct relative such as your mother or father with atopic dermatitis or a sibling does put you at a higher risk for atopic dermatitis, as well as there's a genetic component in the fact that certain skin barrier genes can be defective and can cause you to actually manifest some of the symptoms and signs of atopic dermatitis.
Is it considered autoimmune? Does it go along with some of the other autoimmune where we might see skin conditions such as lupus?
So we don't usually consider it classically autoimmune, although it does involve the immune system. It's usually along the lines of allergic disease. We consider it one of the allergic diseases such as allergic rhinitis or asthma or food allergy. And in fact, you have a higher incidence of those diseases when you have atopic dermatitis. And so I would consider it more of an allergic disease than I would a true autoimmune disease such as lupus or rheumatoid arthritis.
Doctor, what is the clinical presentation and what do you want physicians to be on the lookout for?
So, yes, often the clinical presentation of atopic dermatitis occurs early in life, in fact, even in the first few months of life, and usually manifests with a red, itchy rash. And usually the itching is what causes the family to come to the physician, is that the itching can be pretty severe. And this rash also has a certain predilection for certain areas of the body. In infants, usually you can see face or extensor surfaces of the forearms. But however, when you get into children, you'll see more flexural kind of presentations, whereas in the creases of the elbows or the creases behind the knees. And those are good clues that when you see a red itchy rash in those areas that you're likely dealing with atopic dermatitis. Although it can occur at any point in parts of the body, those are the really big clues to it.
What are some complications, such as secondary bacterial infection? What are some of the red flags to watch for?
So, yes, often what you will see is you'll see crusting or what becomes like a honey-colored, classic bacterial-looking infection on top of what was previously usually very dry skin. It may become quite moist and have drainage to it, and that usually indicates that there is bacterial superinfection of the atopic dermatitis. One of the other more serious complications that can occur is you can also suffer a herpes infection of your atopic dermatitis, and this becomes really critical when it gets onto the face. As in herpes infections in the eye can actually cause blinding of the patient. And so if you see what seems to be a herpetic lesions, blistering and pinpoint ulcers on the face or other parts of the body, you really have to be vigilant for those types of symptoms and think not only of bacterial infection, but a viral infection such as herpes.
Dr. Morris, do you think that there is a significant and distinct difference in the treatment approach between different types of physicians that might see this?
Absolutely. In fact, when you go to meetings, you will see dermatologists and allergists both talking about atopic dermatitis, but the approach becomes a little bit different in the fact that the allergists tend to think more along the lines of allergic triggers, and the dermatologists tend to think more along the lines of barrier defects and how they can repair that barrier. and then secondarily kind of think more about the allergic triggers. Whereas I think the allergists start thinking about the allergic triggers and how they're triggering the skin disease. And so they each kind of start with their own way, but they usually cover the same types of things. And in fact, the most innovative strategies that have been done lately have been to actually have multidisciplinary clinics where the allergist and the dermatologist see the patient at the same time and each offer their input into the patient's disease. And this is often done for severe disease. And by doing that, you allow both opinions to come to the forefront and really impact on the patient's treatment.
Certainly, that seems to be a great way to go about it. So speak about treatments just a little bit. And what would be your first line of defense? And then also, do you see an adherence issue? Do you think that sometimes patients or their parents are not really following the regimen that you're wanting them to follow?
Absolutely. So let me speak first about treatments. Treatments are mostly topical creams. And in fact, the best treatment that I can give to families is to actually teach them how to take care of their skin. So often these children get dry, itchy skin that if it's just moisturized, will often resolve their itching and often can help to resolve their rash. Additionally, we tell them to avoid certain things like strong fragrances, perfumes, and other things that may irritate the skin because these children have very irritative prone skin that can manifest in its and worsen their atopic dermatitis. Ultimately, if good skin care is not useful, we do have topical steroids that will suppress a little bit of the immune system in the skin so that such that we can usually get a rash under control. But ultimately, once we use topical steroids, we're able to usually go back to just good skin care and avoidance of those irritants or allergens to cause them to really have a good outcome for their skin. Unfortunately, the treatments of steroids and other topicals often come with a certain amount of burning on application. And I always kind of think about it as if you wash your hands a whole bunch of times during the winter and you end up with very cracked, dry skin, you end up, when you go to wash your hands, feeling a little bit of burn there up until that skin heals. And that's actually what I tell patients is that if we can work through and get to a point where we get a little bit of skin healing, the topicals will often become easier to apply. And it's for those reasons that usually parents don't want to see their children in pain. But I often tell them that if we do the short-lived pain, we can often get past that first initial discomfort and get to a resolution for treatment. And that's very helpful for the patients to hear. There are certain strategies, though, that can help the parents to minimize some of these discomforts.
So speak about some of the home treatments that you would like other physicians to counsel their patients and their parents on to keep from scarring, because then there's the psychosocial aspect of atopic dermatitis. How would you like physicians to counsel about what they can do at home?
The biggest thing that patients can do at home is to make sure that they're adherent to their treatments. And so, for instance, if creams are burning, please, you know, have them place them into the refrigerator at times. The cool cream on the skin can actually be soothing at that point then, rather than and minimize a little bit of the burn. But really, it ultimately comes down to good skin care. So we do things such as making sure they're applying emollients, making sure that after they bathe, that they apply emollients immediately. And those emollients are things like are products that are very thick, kind of like Vaseline, that will allow the skin to keep all that moisture that they gained after bathing, as well as, again, avoiding some of those irritants. So we only use mild soaps. Avoid the uses of fabric softener. Avoid things that will possibly carry bacteria and things that people don't think about, like using a washcloth for an entire week, or things like loofahs often carry bacteria on them, and then you're using them to wash your child's skin. You can often transfer bacteria to your child's skin. In addition, when talking about bacteria, often you can even use the bleach baths, which is usually placed as a quarter cup of bleach in a full bath. However, usually me and other physicians I've talked to go down to even using the bleach cap, and you're putting only just a cap full of bleach into their bathwater to cut down on the amount of bacteria on their skin, and then counsel them to make sure that they wash that bleach water off prior when they finish their bath. And so they soak in it, but after that, you really should get that bleach water again, minimizing the irritation of the skin.
Wrap it up for us, Dr. Morris, what you would like other physicians to know about atopic dermatitis and being treated by an allergy physician.
So the biggest thing that I can say is that the allergic triggers are there and that you really need only look for them. However, extensive reviews in looking for triggers is really not recommended in the fact that some of these children have a very high amount of allergic antibody called IgE, and that results in some false positive testings at times. And so sometimes it can be difficult to look for triggers. And so what you want to do is look at the trigger and take a very good clinical history. And then if you're going to go ahead and order either blood tests or send them to an allergist, only testing for those things that you really think are relevant triggers, such as sometimes you will see dogs and cats in the home becoming relevant triggers. And then you test them for dog and cat, and indeed that test is positive. I really would like them to link clinical history first and then be judicious with the testing, as sometimes these tests can be false positive, and especially with foods, and can result in massive elimination of food without really a good result sometimes of control of their atopic dermatitis disease.
Tell us about your team, Dr. Morris, at Dayton Children's Hospital, and when you would like other physicians to consider referring.
So we have a team of two physicians, myself and Dr. Harpinder Kalra, as well as four nurses and a medical assistant and other staff. And really, where I think about referring children for atopic dermatitis, it depends upon the comfort of the physician. Some physicians are comfortable with doing a little bit of topical steroids on a child. It also depends upon their age. But certainly, I think sometimes a mild topical steroid or mild emollients to the skin would be helpful in making sure that maybe we could resolve this without a subspecialty visit. However, if those are not working and you really believe that there is some type of allergic trigger, certainly we would be glad to take a look at the child and order testing as we see indicated. And then also recommend a topical regimen. Often people think that the topical regimen needs to include a dermatologist's opinion, but often across the country, allergists are really starting to treat atopic dermatitis themselves, including the topical regimens. And so we would be happy to see any child at any point along their way in that journey.
Thank you so much, Dr. Morris, for being with us today and sharing your expertise on atopic dermatitis. For more information, you can visit childrensdayton.org. That's childrensdayton.org. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.